Welcome into another edition of The Session with Londa and David. My name's David Austin, and as always, sitting across from me is the most beautiful lady I know, and she looks spectacular today with fishnet stockings.
They're not. They're lace.
I don't know what they are, but they're incredible. They're black.
They're just lace tights.
I don't even know what that means, but spectacular. And I know for a fact you've been stopped at least three times on the street today for the way you look, as well as made a new friend at Best Buy today.
Yeah.
Tell me all about your new buddy.
Well, maybe we'll talk a little bit about that later.
This is The Session with Londa and David, brought to you by Sherwood Austin Growth Consultants. Call Londa at SherwoodAustin.com today, 509-491-2663. 509-491-2663. If your business needs a boost,
yeah,
call Sherwood Austin Growth Consultants.
I'm excited about that because I'm hoping that early next year we'll be dropping the website, and
it'll have
applications.
I'm very excited about that.
There'll be an application process to work with us, and I'm excited about getting that done.
And I love it because, you know, when we're talking to business owners, everybody doesn't qualify. And here's what I mean by that.
For sure.
I learned this from Malcolm Adams when I was selling radio years and years ago. He said, David, you need to ask business people to set up a meeting to see if it makes sense for you to do business together. Mm-hmm. And I added that to my language in business-to-business sales, and it really does change the game.
It really does.
Because if you care about the quality of your work, why wouldn't you care about the quality of people you work with?
Yeah.
It's really interesting.
In my initial intake call with people, mm-hmm. I'm just connecting to set up the intake appointment, basically. Mm-hmm. One of the things I always say is, we'll do this and we'll do that, and then we'll see if we're a fit or not.
Right. It's necessary to qualify your customers.
Uh-huh. Because it's miserable when it's not the right fit and you work with them anyway.
That's kind of what I want to talk about in today's show, just so you know.
Oh.
How do you work with someone that's work ethic does not match yours exactly?
Well, that's great. We can definitely share the conversation we had at the, was it Best Buy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. 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 Here's the concern. When I work with someone, mm-hmm. I expect them to be as invested in the project as I am.
Oh, silly, silly David.
Do you know what I mean, though?
Yeah.
And if they are, then it's a successful relationship. It's symbiotic. We both care.
Right.
That's a rare thing.
Super rare.
You know what I mean?
Yes, I do.
In my mortgage business, I think it's taken me 17 years to perfect my team. And now it's perfect and it runs flawlessly. But it's because everybody on the Envoy Mortgage team has the same goal. And that is not to be the best lender in the world. That is not to be the highest closing lender in the world.
Okay.
It's to have the highest quality relationships with customers.
I like that.
And everybody's on the same page with that. And
right.
That's spectacular.
Right.
And when you have that, you got a stew. You know what I mean? You've mm-hmm. got something that works.
Yeah.
Yesterday.
You've got a gumbo.
Yes. Yesterday, I went to Disney World in Orlando, Florida.
And I did not.
That's correct.
Yay.
You were under the weather, and you had a lot of stuff you had to do. But I went to Disney World, and you're not going to believe this, but I got a call from Dago Velasquez. Mm-hmm. Guess when?
When you were on It's a Small World or in line for it.
That is correct. I was walking into It's a Small World and Dago Velasquez called me yesterday. Every time I've been to Disney in the last 10 years, if I'm in the Magic Kingdom and I'm getting on It's a Small World, I get a call about or from Dago Velasquez in the ride.
It's so bizarre.
Every time. And he called yesterday as though he had a surveillance camera at Disney and saw me walking up to the ride. My phone rang right when I walked in.
Maybe he cloned your phone and he's tracking you.
Oh, that could be. Dago, if you cloned my phone, I'm going to need you to fess up. It's really hilarious, though. And I said to him when I answered the phone, oh, my God, Dago, I can't believe you're calling me. Guess where I am right now? And he goes, It's a Small World.
Mm-hmm.
And that's right.
Yep.
It was on It's a Small World. Anyway, mm-hmm. I say that because when I went to Disney yesterday, I had things that needed to get done on files, mm-hmm. and I had a pre-approval letter I needed to send for Damian Lalka.
Right.
And my team was just on it. Damien sent me the client's offer information, and within 5 minutes, the pre-approval letter was in his inbox because I was able to tap into my team.
Okay, so here's a point that I want to make. So yes. Listen up, people.
I like it.
Because this is one of the secret sauces to our success.
I like it.
Here we go. You have to take action immediately.
Mm-hmm.
You may not have to get the task done that's been requested immediately, but you have to take action immediately. If you get a call, mm-hmm. you get a text, you get an email from a client,
mm-hmm.
you've got to respond.
That's right.
I don't care what the response is. I do care what the response is.
The response can be, I'm not going to be able to get to this for 24 hours. It can be if you respond right away.
I'm not going to be able to. No, no, no. Just shift that language.
Okay,
to,
I like it.
Good news, I'll get this done and back to you within 24 hours.
That's great. That's great.
Always the positive. Right. Never, I can't, I won't. I always take a moment to pause and figure out how can I frame this so that it's a win.
I gotcha.
Right?
Yep.
So, excuse me. Hey, I'm at Disney World right now, and so I'm not going to be able to get to this until tomorrow. Will is not comforting to the client.
And you don't tell the client you're at Disney World.
You let them know this has been received, and it'll be handled within 24 hours. Thank you so much.
Or as I did.
Or whatever.
Within 5 minutes, exactly. I have it sent.
But you respond, and then you take action
That's
if
right.
you can.
That's right.
And you know, I think a lot of people get scared because they think, oh, well, you know, now I've got to interrupt what I'm doing to do this and to do that. And there's a lot to be said for having time set aside to work in your business, work on your business, work outside your business. I get that. And I'm all about systems and having that time blocked and set out. And that works great for some personality types.
Yep.
Right? And there's another piece to it where things have to be handled in some capacity immediately. It never takes as long as you think it's going to. And the time that you sit thinking about it or talking about it or stewing about it, you could have had it done.
Right.
And that's something that I learned early on in work life because a manager, you know, way back when I was 18 years old, said to me, you know, if you spent all the time you spend talking about it, just doing it, you'd have it done.
Yes. You know, when you get out of lending for a short time, you kind of lose your mojo. You know what I mean?
I don't know.
I've never gotten out of lending, oh, okay. But I've rehired people into lending that had been gone for a while.
Oh, sure, yeah.
And they lose their mojo because when you're in it, doing it, you're a force of nature.
Right.
You have to be successful because it's right. a deadline-driven job. Right. I had one guy that I rehired who used to be a top producer in mortgages years and years and years ago. And he calls me one day and he's asking me all kinds of questions about a borrower and about what I think about whether or not the borrower will be able to be approved. And I said to him, let me stop you right there. Stop thinking about doing the mm-hmm. deal and run the deal.
Right.
When you run it, it will say yes or no.
Right.
It won't say maybe. I don't know because I've known him for a while and I don't trust how, you know, how good he is on the job. No, 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 no.
Right.
Run the scenario, put in the employment dates mm-hmm. and hit enter. And if it says yes, it works. Stop thinking about doing it and do it.
Stop thinking about it. Stop talking about it. Do it.
Yep.
And then see.
That's exactly right.
You got to. This applies to, this is a holistic idea.
Mm-hmm.
It applies to every area of your life.
Yes.
So, for instance, we're talking to, you know, one of the kids
yep.
who's getting ready to go to college.
Yes.
thinking about it.
I remember this conversation.
Talking about it, thinking about it, worrying about it.
Stressing about it.
Stressing about it.
Researching about it on his phone.
Yeah, all the things. Until he was so confused and so frustrated that they were just like begging for direction. And in fact said, everybody's got an opinion about what I should do, but nobody just tells me what to do. And you said, let me tell you what to do. You do A, B, C. Now, get off the phone and go do it.
And he did.
Absolutely.
It's that simple.
And now, moving to the next step.
That's exactly right.
So, and so many people do it in business as well. And it drives me absolutely crazy. Now, going back to your idea about when people work the way that I work, everything's smooth. It's just not going to happen. People, generally speaking, are not as invested as you want them to be.
Right. And you need to learn how to work with their level of investment.
Yes, having realistic expectations. But the bottom line for me is if you're going to do a job, do it. Do the damn job.
That's
be
right.
professional about
That's right.
it. Do it. Make it happen. And you know, we've had experiences because the bulk of our business is in real estate and lending.
Right.
And so that's the bulk of our experiences for at least the last several years. And experiencing it as a buyer and as a seller is very different than experiencing it as a realtor and as a lender.
You're absolutely right about that.
And, you know, when we buy and sell properties, I feel like we never get as good a service as we give to other people.
I think you're right about that.
I'm just, you know, putting it out there, being honest. It's not that I don't love everyone we've worked with. I do. But, you know, I would say another thing is if you feel close with the person, still give them your number one level of professionalism.
Sure.
You know, people get comfortable.
Yes.
And they feel like, you know, we're buddies, and so they don't have to, I don't know, they kind of lose the edge of professionalism, and don't do that. They deserve it just as much as everyone else.
Are you talking about a situation that we have right now? Because I don't feel that way. Do you feel that way about any of our transactions going on right now?
Yes.
Tell me more about that. I want to know more.
Well, okay. We've had a difficult inspection period on a property.
On our sale vacation home in Florida.
Okay, we're putting it out there.
Why
All
not?
Right. All right. So, selling the vacation home in Florida.
Yes.
It's been challenging and a little stressful getting through the inspection period.
Yes.
Over, in my opinion,
nothing.
Ticky-tacky little tiny things.
$600 worth of trouble.
Yes.
On a $500,000 house.
Yes.
Yes.
So yesterday was the culmination of all the stress for me.
And I was at Disney.
yeah. And thank you for that. And I think that's okay because it would have been more stressful for me to manage what I was feeling and manage what you were feeling. Not that I have to manage your feelings, but I kind of take that
it's
on.
It's because I lose my mind when I'm the seller because
right.
I know what this product is.
Right.
I know how great it is.
Well, you think it's better than it is like every seller on the
Absolutely.
Planet.
Absolutely. When you're buying or selling a home, you lose your mind. And that's why you want to work with people who have level heads
right.
and are good communicators.
Like I am.
Yes, so, and I'm not. So when that
but
realtor...
But you are when you're working.
Yeah, that's true. But it's just like a surgeon shouldn't operate on his own family. You lose your mind when it's your family or it's emotionally an investment for you.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yes. So circling back, I want to finish this
okay.
thought because this is important.
I like it.
excuse me. So we finally, last night, late 8:30 p.m., which to me is late when I've been nursing this all day long.
Right.
We get the final response from our buyers. They've agreed to, and yesterday was the drop dead date on the inspection. So it needed to be settled yesterday and finally get it. We get the email.
Right.
And in the body of the email, it says, here's the form for your records.
Executed contract form for your records. Right.
And there's an attachment. And I read the attachment and I'm like, okay. And I read contracts all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But even I, being an emotional seller, looked at that and thought, oh, okay, so did they agree to it or not? Is this over? Can I relax? Can I take a breath or not?
Right.
And I had to text our realtor, who I adore, and say, okay, so did they agree to everything? Is this over or not? Like, are we done? I don't understand. Who then said, yes. So that was that.
Right.
In my communication with my clients, the body of the email would have been more, it would have had more information. Hey, congratulations. It's finally done. They've agreed to it. See attached, form that's signed. And now we're on to closing.
I have a question for you. Are we certain that that wasn't an automatic thing from DocuSign?
Yes.
Because it was closing the full deal. I don't know that.
Yes.
Okay. Okay.
100%.
All right.
So that's all I'm saying is we get too comfortable. We get too, I had another situation too. And the point I'm trying to make is communicate, over communicate, communicate professionally.
Right.
Over communicate professionally.
Yes.
If you're in a job where you're talking to humans.
Right.
Which most of us are. I don't care what your job is.
To human people.
Yeah. So, and this happened on a deal I'm doing in Washington too. Just lack of communication. And it caused unnecessary stress for my client and me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's kind of what I'm saying is soft skills are the skills.
Right.
They really are. If you never learn anything but soft skills, then you're golden. Get a really good set of soft skills, which is part of the communication and all that, and get a system, and you can't lose.
I like that. I like that a lot.
And I'm up to here currently with people who are not using systems and not, communicating well. So that I'm a little fired up about it personally today, and I'm a little emotional because we've got a lot of changes coming.
We do have a lot of changes coming.
I'm excited.
And let's catch you guys up.
Okay.
We, about a year and 3 months ago, bought a vacation home in Lakeland, Florida. We've got some family here. My dad's up the road a couple hours,
Mm-hmm.
And I actually went to kindergarten and first grade here in Lakeland, Florida.
Right.
And then COVID happened.
COVID happened and I got terribly, terribly sick.
That's exactly right. And we kept our apartment in the Tri-Cities and went back and forth. I think we made 9 trips to the Tri-Cities, which averaged out to every 6 weeks we were in town.
Mm-hmm.
We kept our businesses going, our real estate business and our mortgage business kept going.
And I have to say, I love the clients who stuck with me and didn't listen to the naysayers who were telling them, oh, they moved. Yeah. Oh, they moved.
We bought a vacation home and we're back and forth. So anyway, that's neither here nor there. My business in mortgage remained unchanged, essentially. And thanks to COVID, nobody really wanted to go in and see a lender. And now with this new variant, people still don't want to go in and see a lender.
Right. And because of my terrific team members and realtor partners and really perfecting the long distance thing.
Mm-hmm.
I was able to keep everything going as well. So very grateful.
So speaking of our realtor in Lakeland, Jared Wegeland, who we love dearly,
him.
Awesome guy. He invited us out to the MMA fights a few weeks ago, like 4 weeks ago, and said, hey guys, I've got a table at the MMA fights in Lakeland and I'd like you guys to come. And so we did. And it was just him and his kids. And us, right? So it was great. We had, front row VIP service
so
and saw
much
a couple
fun.
Of really cool fights.
Yeah. Fun.
And when we were there, he gave us an envelope which had in it our 1 year checkup on our home value.
Yeah.
And our home went up $150,000 in 12 months. $150,000. Because in Florida, 1,000 people a day, they say, are moving here to get away from their states that have more restrictive rules for COVID. And it continues, right? So we decided our vacation home's awesome. We love it, but we're not going to get this kind of exponential growth in value ever again. Let's put a sign in the yard. So we did, and the house is now under contract, and the inspection period ended last night at 8:30. Over $600 worth of crap, but that's fine. That's neither here nor there. I'm not upset about it. I am upset about their realtor being relatively unprofessional and sending inspectors to our house without telling us.
Yeah.
That's crazy. And then coming to the house herself to walk through it. I thought that was crazy as well. But that's neither here nor there.
Well, and that's some of those times when you have to, you stay flexible to keep a deal together.
You do stay flexible to keep a deal together, but as an agent working in a transaction, you don't surprise anybody in the transaction.
No, no. And I'm saying you and I stayed really flexible.
We did.
And I worked really hard these last couple weeks to be non-emotional and try to stay in my realtor brain.
And thank God you did that, because I did not do that.
Well, when I wasn't in my realtor brain, I was ready to tell him to piss off and put it back on the market.
Right, right.
Which is... But this gives you clues to how our clients feel and your clients feel when these kind of things happen. You have to smooth the bumps in the road.
That's exactly
you
right.
You have to be a step-down transformer
That's
for them.
Right.
The high voltage comes in. You got to absorb it and let the low voltage come out.
You know what? You've used that before, and I think that's absolutely genius. And you do that to me a lot.
All the time. All the time.
So we're selling the house in Florida, and we've bought a house in Louisiana.
Of all places.
6 miles outside of my hometown of Lafayette, Louisiana, in a tiny town called Bro Bridge. Mm-hmm. It is awesome. The home we've purchased with our realtor in Louisiana, Robbie Bro, who's now a buddy. And, you know, hopefully he'll keep up his level of service. I get at least a call a day from him giving me updates on what's going on with the inspections there. And that's great. So we're buying a house that's similar in size to our Florida vacation home. It has, I think, even better outdoor recreation space. It has a pool just like our Florida house.
Guys, I was this close to having a townhouse right in the smack of town, right in the middle, with no yard, and which equals no work for me.
Right.
Super convenient, no outside work. I was this close.
And the problem is the taxes on that property are ridiculous, and there's no outside living space at all.
And the resale value's not good.
Right.
And
it was a lot of expense for a little payoff.
It was, and you have to, and again, this is being emotional, you know, an emotional buyer versus being in my realtor brain.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to look at it with my realtor brain and say, you know what? The resale on this, it's not going to be good. The taxes are ridiculous. We got to do something else.
That's exactly right.
So you got to just, and sometimes you have to help your clients look at things that way too, you know?
Mm-hmm. So anyway, this house we bought, spectacular outdoor kitchen, really cool. Has a tiki bar theme going on. I mean, really, really cool space. All of our outside furniture will beautifully go into that space.
Yeah.
So I'm super excited.
And Bro Bridge and the area where we bought specifically is on the increase. It's on the rise. Their market is really consistently appreciating.
Right.
Houses are hard to find. Like it's doing what we want that market to do. So that hopefully we have great appreciation. We probably will not have it, you know, in a year, but maybe in 3 years or something. I don't know.
Yep.
We'll see.
So we're doing that right now. That's all going super smoothly. So that's great. And that's our story.
Yeah.
So the people I met up with yesterday at Disney are friends of mine from Louisiana that, you know, I'd seen Shannon once since we've been married and her husband, Rusty, and then her brother, Shane Bernard, Dr. Shane Bernard, the corporate historian for Tabasco. He was at Disney.
I can't believe that's a job.
Yeah. What do you mean? Tabasco's a huge deal company.
Corporate historian for Tabasco. They don't talk about that on career day in high school.
Well, if you're a history major, they probably do. I bet when you're a history major in college, they talk about the jobs out there. I guarantee
Maybe in
you
college.
I guarantee
you. High school career day never talked about that kind of thing.
No. High school career day talked about getting a job at a fast food restaurant and the gas station because those people were there at career day hiring.
Do you remember you take the little aptitude test?
The ASFAB. And you'd have to be, I don't know. I don't know why you're looking at me like that, but you'd have to be a special, special person not to do well.
They didn't give us the ASFAB. It was just some sort of like aptitude.
I took the ASFAB on career day.
I went to a tiny little school in a tiny little town, and I'm pretty sure they weren't giving us the ASFAB. But
that's what it was.
Some sort of aptitude test to see what career path would be best for you.
Yes. And if you can
read, what was yours?
Write, and speak English, you can do great on that test.
Do you remember what yours said?
Said I should be involved in some communications industry.
Yeah.
I should be involved in linguistics or something like
Mine
that.
Mine too. That's interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So.
And then my counselor talked to me about being a flight attendant.
Which is awesome because you're hot. So you look like a flight attendant today. I think Asian Air has an outfit just like that. It's true. I love this outfit. You look like a stewardess from Asian Air. I love it.
Flight attendant. Thank you.
I apologize. I don't know the industry jargon. I just know that I have to wear a mask when I'm on a plane.
Right.
I cannot believe, speaking of wearing a mask on a plane, how much ridiculous behavior has been happening on flights internationally over the last year. Ridiculous behavior. People fist fighting, people screaming, people getting duct tape. Passengers who are unruly are getting duct taped to their seats, and the police, when the plane lands, comes and takes them away. That's happening.
I know, but okay. Let's drive the train back onto the track.
Okay.
And talk about what we're here to talk about.
Are you having some kind of asthma-related event today? You seem like you're in some distress. Are you okay? Is it an allergy thing?
I'm fine. I still have a little leftover cold.
Okay.
From being under the weather.
Right.
And I may be having some cough variant asthma. I don't know.
Who knows?
We don't want to talk about
it.
Nobody cares about that.
Well, I'm just worried about you. People watching on YouTube.
But I have a little runny nose as well.
People watching on YouTube will be very concerned. So that's why I brought it up.
Oh, well, I don't know. But let's talk about the conversation that we had with the gentleman in Best Buy this morning who was talking about his problems with his printer and the service. Because this is, again, another service-related issue.
Yes. Okay, go. Tell me all about it.
And our 30-minute Starbucks drive as well. Like what's happening to customer service? I don't understand.
It's crazy.
So do you recall what his problem was with his printer and the service? And in the store, he could get it to work,
yes,
but at home he couldn't.
Correct.
Or something.
It's having a hard time finding Wi-Fi.
And he was talking about... you know, I don't know what's wrong with these young people, he was saying.
That's exactly right.
And their work ethic.
They have no work ethic is a direct quote. That's what he said.
Right.
And he gave us examples. Go ahead. You're trying to say something and I keep cutting you off.
No.
He gave us examples of how younger people,
in
his opinion, younger people who he's had to come in contact with through business just don't deliver on work ethic the way his generation does.
Again, in his opinion.
Correct.
And I think his generation are really crabby and a little off color and inappropriate at times. And so there's, you know, and he said, I'm worried about, you know, my grandchildren and what's going to happen with them. And I'm worried about what we're going to give them. And I think every generation kind of has this same dialogue as they go along.
And I think it hits you at a certain age. And I think he said he was 77. And I think maybe right around there is when it happens.
Yeah, I'm not sure. But I do know there's something interesting in customer service. And I'm not sure what's going on. I mean, We're fighting for higher and higher wages, but the service is getting worse and worse.
Right.
You know? So I don't get it.
Well, and I think there's kind of a disconnect between young workers right now, and I don't think it's work ethic. I think it's the disconnect is about what they deserve.
Interesting.
And in work, here's what you deserve: to do your best and make the most money you can. That's what you deserve. You don't deserve anything else.
True.
You, if you want to be successful in business as an employee, you better find an employer that you like what they're doing, because you're signing up for that.
Well, listen, and again, some old school advice that a manager gave me one time was, you need to work like you know there's someone right behind you ready to take your job.
And I don't know, because of the availability of information and the empowerment that young people have with information services.
Sure.
I think they feel more entitled than we did, because it was kind of a simpler time.
I felt pretty entitled when I was 18, 19 years old.
Boy, I sure didn't. I sure didn't.
I wasn't entitled at all. And, you know, those kind of managers that I had taught me those things.
I felt bulletproof, but I didn't feel entitled. And there's a difference. I felt like I knew whatever was thrown at me, I could handle. That's how I felt. Mm-hmm. I never felt like I deserved a 15-minute break. I never felt like I deserved $11 an hour. Does that make sense?
I do understand that. I did. If the rules say I get a 15-minute break, then I get a 15-minute break.
Here's the way I feel about that.
You see what I'm saying?
I don't care what the rules say. You get what you get when you're working, because your boss lets you know what you get. That's the generation of the angry man who doesn't understand the kids today. That's exactly how he or the angry lady, she feels.
Yeah, they spent, you know, 45 years at the same company, and it's just a different mindset. You know, I tell some of our kids that are, you know, younger in, you know, late teens to early 20s, if you don't like your job, quit, go do something else. None of your jobs matter right now anyway.
That's right.
Like you're working at the mall.
Yeah.
Go to a different store in the mall.
Right.
And thinking like eventually they're going to learn. And I do think you should try everything and do everything. And I don't agree with the do one thing for your whole life.
Ugh. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I fully agree with that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's just like when I was talking to Ray Sutley when I was a young radio guy, 19 years old and feeling bulletproof. And I was standing with a group of people. Ugh. And said to, I think, Ed Perkins, who runs a radio station in South Louisiana now, I said to Ed, listen, if I'm 40 years old and in Market 98 still doing the afternoon report on this radio station, put me down. And Ray Sutley, my mentor, was 40 years old and in Market 98 still working at that radio station. And, you know, it's because I'm from a generation that we want to always grow. We want to get to the next thing. We're working toward the next thing. That's my people. My people are doing that. So when I was a young kid in radio, I wanted to go from Market 98 to Market 15, not 100. Right. You know what I mean?
Right.
So that was my goal then. Now, I'm kind of glad that was my goal then, because it breaks my heart to know how little adult people make in broadcasting in a top 100 market. It breaks my heart.
Okay.
One of my heroes, and I'm not going to name him, when he told me, he was actually at Ray Sutley's funeral when he told me that the stimulus money, was the extra $600, made it more profitable to stay home than go to work in radio. I almost cried.
Yeah.
That was a big slap in the face to me.
So that is something that the gentleman we saw at Best Buy brought up.
Right.
He said, you know, people are more comfortable staying home, getting their checks, because it's easier to get the check and not work. And,
right.
But I don't think that's true across the board. I think there's always all different kinds of people. But I guess I still think if you want to be successful, you better be innovative. You better be Johnny on the spot. You better be ready to work and treat your damn job like a job.
That's exactly right.
It's not, if it's a hobby, just quit.
If it's a hobby, it needs to be a hobby, and don't present yourself as a business person to me. Present yourself as a hobbyist. It's just like somebody who has electric trains in their garage. I don't want to walk into that accidentally. You better tell me up front before I get to your house that your garage is going to be full of electronic trains, because it's going to freak me out if I come walking in there and you're wearing an engineer hat playing with trains. It's going to freak me out. I need a heads up. So if you're a hobby,
who's the it character? Was
Bobby Bacala.
There you go. From The Sopranos.
That's exactly right. So if what I'm saying is, if you're a hobbyist, let people know you're a hobbyist. Be honest, be open, and then nobody needs to be shocked.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
If you want to put your foot in the water with real estate and do...
or whatever.
3 to 5 deals a year,
mm-hmm.
let people know, hey, just so you know, I don't do this full time. This isn't my real job, but I'm just trying... I love houses, so I want to go see houses with people. I love to see houses.
Maybe, I guess.
You know what I mean?
I guess.
Just be honest. Yeah. I won't probably do business with somebody who wants to do that, because I want to work when I'm at work and I want to play when I'm at play.
Right.
You know, one of the seemingly most disingenuous things I ever heard in an interview, I heard from one of my friends, Scott Ridgway, years ago, and I laughed out loud when he said it, and it's because it was a new phrase then. It was like 12 years ago, and he says, here at whatever the mortgage company was, we work hard and we play hard, and that made me laugh out loud. But you know what? That makes sense to me now. You know right. what I mean?
Mm-hmm, totally.
Way better than... Yeah. I couldn't believe it when he said it. It sounded so corny, so cheesy.
I guess if you want to do something as a hobby, that's fine, but you better have a bulletproof system for it so that when you work, you're not hanging other people up. You're not... You can't... do it right or don't do it.
I agree. Do it right or don't do it.
You know, is there room for mistakes? Yeah, but learn from them and don't repeat them.
Right.
And, you know, and I know that's a little old school and it's a little harsh and it's almost like second place is first loser kind of mentality. But damn it, that's kind of part of my DNA.
Yes.
Like,
and there's nothing wrong with feeling that way.
Right. All my kids are in therapy because of it.
It's true.
Do it right or don't do it at all.
That's right. There's nothing wrong with that. Do it right. But they're all,
you know what? All the kids are successful, hardworking people. They all have jobs. They all keep jobs. They all, mm-hmm. you know,
mm-hmm.
work really hard. The two youngest of my seven mm-hmm. have a very different mentality,
right,
than the older ones, and they are a different generation. And so it's very interesting to me. I would say that if you're, you know, over 50. Make sure you spend lots of time talking to people in their early 20s.
Yes.
Because you'll have a better scope of the world, and it keeps your mind open and it keeps you thinking about new thoughts and new ideas. And you know, for our very, very, very youngest child, David Michael,
mm-hmm.
he's much more interested in life experiences
mm-hmm.
than a career and career path and making a ton of money in life. Like, his quality of life much more important than anything else.
Mm-hmm.
And so I find that really interesting. I love talking with him about that. And
I think that's the kind of complaint that guy we ran into at Best Buy has about that generation of kids.
I think maybe, but you've got to understand it. Get into their brain, get into their mindset and find mm-hmm. out the why behind the what.
That's good. The why behind the what. And you talk about that a lot with me, because I often want to know why. And mm-hmm. that's super important to me. Right. I want to understand. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
For empathy, I require understanding. I can't empathize if I can't understand.
Technically, that is not empathy then.
If I don't want to understand... and I don't want to empathize, I would say that's not empathy.
Agree to disagree.
Yes.
Empathy is giving people space for their stuff mm-hmm. and relating to them, whether you understand or not.
I can't relate if I can't understand.
I know.
That's sympathy. I sympathize. Right. I don't empathize.
Exactly.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
So,
and you make up for it in your care of people because you, your primary core value is kindness.
Right.
And so what you might lack in empathy, you make up for in kindness and care.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And oddly, I don't want anything back for that.
Right.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
I think that is weird.
I don't think it's weird. I think it's just you.
People who don't know me, who are just getting to know me, often in my life, I've heard people say, can that guy possibly be real? He seems so happy and so nice.
I'm here to tell you, it is 100% of the time. It is. It is day and night. I've been with you now for, what, 2.5 years almost.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
And I can tell you, it is not an act. It is not something you put on. It is truly in your DNA. It is who you are. It never stops. And you always, just like saying, going back to the email about the inspection finally being done, saying, are you sure that wasn't an auto-generated email? Because you're always looking for the out for people so that they are not responsible for upsetting someone or hurting someone. Or you often say to me, are you sure this wasn't this and this? And I'm always like, yeah. Sure. Yeah,
that does cause you some frustration from time to time.
Oh, it for sure does. And you know, it's two sides of the same coin, right? I love that you are that way.
Mm-hmm.
And yet at times I'm like, how can you be so Pollyanna about everything all the time?
And I'm never Pollyanna. I just want to see the best in everybody. I do. Well, it's hard to not see the best in people for me.
And it's good for me because I often see everything that's wrong or out of place or doesn't add up, which makes me a really good consultant.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Because I can look at a giant mess and pinpoint the one little shift that needs to happen that will smooth everything out. But I also do that with everything and people and systems and businesses and myself. So that's the worst part, is I'm really, really hard on myself.
You really are hard on yourself.
Yeah.
You should let, never mind. I almost said something.
Nope.
Wildly inappropriate. Listen, on the radio.
I've already had that interaction today with a stranger.
That's good stuff. Good stuff.
77-year-old man at Best Buy.
Let me touch you.
Who told me to open my coat. And take your coat off.
And touch me. He said, touch me. And you did. That was the best part. No.
He said, take your coat off.
That's right.
And I said, no, I'm cold. And that was my nice answer.
Right.
Because the other answer that was formulating in my head was, no, it's 2021. Grown-ass women don't just do what old white men tell them to do anymore, sir.
Why did his race have to play into this?
Well, because I'm being, you know, playfully racist.
Like it's a small world.
Yeah. So... But what I said is, no, I'm cold. And he said, let me feel your hand.
Right.
And so I did let him feel my hand. He said, oh, you are cold. I said, uh-huh. Well, anyway, good luck with your printer. And turned around and walked off. Take your coat off. No, this isn't that kind of, this is Best Buy. This isn't, you know, the Kitty Cat Palace. What was he thinking?
I think he was just trying to be playful and flirty because you look super cute.
For $100, sir, I'll open my jacket. I mean, what happened?
I got $100 on me.
Well, I'll open my jacket for
there you. There you go. You know what? I think the moral of the story here is we as older people in business need to better relate to the younger people and not make broad statements about them.
Absolutely.
As a whole.
Learn from everyone.
I do think that they have different expectations because of the availability of information.
I like talking to the 77-year-old guy just as much as I like talking to my 19-year-old son and everybody in between, because I think you can learn something from everyone, but you have to have an open mind.
Right. And as long as you have that mindset, you will stay young.
Man, I hope I always have an open mind.
If you're always interested in what other people have to say, you will always learn and you will always be young.
And
that's
maybe,
a thing.
And maybe that's why I'm so interested in NFTs.
You are definitely interested in NFTs. I mean, I can't think of anyone more interested in NFTs than you.
I'm super excited about learning new technology.
You find a reason to talk about them every day.
And new things, and I always want to be that person, you know?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Non-fungible tokens, NFTs.
Yep.
And it's like a digital copyright.
Sort of.
Tell me more about NFTs.
Nope, not in this episode.
How come?
Because we're just about done.
We are just about done, but do you hear any music playing? I don't hear music playing.
Oh, my goodness. Hey, could you do me a favor? Could you send us some topics that you'd like us to discuss over the next few weeks on the show? That would be great.
That is a great idea because we'll be moving one household from Florida to Louisiana, so we'll have less time to work on prep for the show. So send us some ideas for shows, and we will do those for you. And right. I am talking about you, John Patrick, so send us one. I think he's the president of our fan club, and by the way, he has invited us over on the 12th to go hang out at his house and maybe grill or something. Have steaks. He's a weekend butcher. So we're going to have nice meat.
That's nice. I want to go out on this idea right now because I know everybody's prepping for the December holidays.
Perfect.
Right? Please keep it simple. We've had enough stress with the pandemic. We have all these things going on in the world. Keep your holidays simple.
I like that.
Yeah. Dial it back. Just if it's about spending time with friends and family, then make it about that. Don't make it about the gift giving. People are really stressed out about the shipping and the supply and the cost of everything going up. Just dial it back. It's okay to do that. Let's make some new rules.
I like that. This has been The Session with Londa and David, brought to you by Sherwood Austin Growth Consultants at 509-491-2663. Sherwood Austin Growth Consultants is a business that helps other businesses grow. If you want to know more about Sherwood Austin Growth Consultants, email Londa@SherwoodAustin.com. Londa, L-O-N-D-A, @SherwoodAustin.com, or call Londa today at 509-491-2663.
Or text
509-491-2663 for Sherwood Austin Growth Consultants. No job is too small and no business is too big. For Londa Sherwood Austin, my name is David Austin. And again, this has been The Session with Londa and David. We'll see you next week.